All right, so we're diving into wine today.
Sounds delicious.
Well, we've got all this research about it, and I think what I'm really most curious about is what happens after you pour the wine in the glass?
Okay.
Like, what should we even be looking for? Like, what's changing? Is this even a thing?
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. Like, as soon as that wine hits the glass, you've got this chain reaction that starts,
Okay.
and oxygen is a really big player in that.
So, like, more than just the taste is changing then, right?
Yeah, it's like the oxygen is like this catalyst. It interacts with all these compounds in the wine and really starts to unlock aromas and flavors that were sort of hidden before.
Interesting. So, like, how when you cut open an apple and it starts to turn brown.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like that, but obviously with wine, it's way more subtle and there's a lot more going on.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I noticed in the research was that we're talking about a huge variety of grapes here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like over 1,300 different wine grape varieties.
It's really amazing.
So how does that all play into what we're seeing in the glass?
Well, each grape variety brings its own unique set of chemical compounds to the party. And those compounds, they react differently with oxygen. So you t take something bold, like a Cabernet Sauvignon, a lot of times from Bordeaux, and you let it open up. You get these really rich blackcurrant and cedar aromas coming out.
Nice.
But then you could take something like a Riesling,
Cool.
often from cooler regions like Germany. And over time, that might show more like apricot or honey notes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so like the grape sets the foundation, and then the oxygen adds all these other layers.
Right. It all builds on itself.
I'm starting to see how wine tasting gets so complex.
It really is like
Yeah.
peeling back the layers of an onion. Every sniff, every swirl reveals something new.
So let's talk about those layers then. What are we looking for when we first pour that glass?
All right, so first just look at the wine itself,
Okay.
color clarity.
Yeah.
And have you ever noticed those little legs or tears that run down the inside of the glass?
Yeah, I've always wondered about those.
Yeah, they're actually pretty cool. Those legs tell you about the alcohol and glycerol content of the wine.
Really?
Yeah, so the more prominent the legs, usually the higher the alcohol level.
Huh. So thicker legs, bolder wine. Is that right?
You got it. It's because alcohol evaporates quicker than water, so it sort of pulls the wine up the sides of the glass.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So next, I guess we got to give it a swirl.
Exactly. That's not just for show, it really helps to aerate the wine,
Okay.
and that releases those aromatic compounds so you can really get the full bouquet.
That's why it always smells so much stronger after I swirl it.
Exactly. It's like you're waking up the aromas.
Oh.
And remember, each wine has its own unique profile, like a perfume. Certain compounds, like esters,
Okay.
they can create those fruity notes like strawberry or pear. And then you've got terpenes, which can bring out more floral aromas like rose or lavender.
Ooh, I love those floral
Me
notes.
too.
Okay, so we've used our eyes, we've used our noses. Now comes the fun part,
Right?
yep. Time to taste.
All right. So what's happening when we finally take that sip? That's where your taste buds step in.
Okay.
They help you pick up on the sweetness, the sourness, bitterness, and even the tannins, which give you that drying sensation. But it's not just about taste, it's also about mouthfeel, the texture.
Oh, right.
Like, is the wine light and crisp, or is it more full-bodied and velvety?
Makes sense. Our research mentioned words like puckering and creamy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's so interesting. So it's like our whole mouth is involved. It's not just our tongue.
Absolutely. It's a full sensory experience.
Wow. And all this time, I thought it was just about how it tasted on my tongue.
Well, there's that too, but there's just so much more going on.
And all these chemical processes we've been talking about, they actually change what we taste over time, too,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. They're happening constantly. As the wine sits in the glass, it's evolving.
Okay, you're blowing my mind. I got to know more about how this all works.
Right. Well, for instance, flavonoid polymers.
Okay.
They're in the wine naturally, and they can react with oxygen. And that's actually what causes the browning you see in wine as it ages.
Wait, so the color change is like a visual cue that there's chemistry happening.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And there's also caffeic acid, another natural compound that oxidizes and creates a more golden hue.
Wow. So it's like this whole dance of chemistry happening right there in the glass.
It really is. And we get to witness it all just by observing and tasting.
This is incredible. I had no idea. There was so much science behind all of
Well,
this.
there's a lot more to discover,
I
too.
can't wait.
And it's not just those reactions either.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, so much more. So we've talked about the grapes themselves and how they impact the wine,
Right.
but there's another big factor that comes into play, oak aging.
Oh, yeah. Oak barrels.
Exactly. Have you ever noticed those, like, vanilla or spicy notes in certain wines.
Oh, yeah, I love those, like that toasty flavor.
Yeah, well, that's often coming from the oak barrels.
I always kind of knew that, but I never really understood how that works.
It's pretty cool. So those barrels, they're not just containers. They actually act as flavoring agents. So as the wine ages, those oak compounds slowly seep into the wine.
Ah.
And that's what creates those extra layers of complexity. So, for instance, vanillin.
Vanillin, like the stuff in vanilla extract?
Exactly. That's what gives the wine those warm vanilla notes. And then there are tannins in the oak, too.
Okay.
And those contribute to the wine's structure and texture.
So it's not just about the type of oak then, right?
Yeah.
Like how long the wine is in the barrel matters, too.
Yeah, totally. And even how the oak is toasted makes a difference.
Oh, wow. So it's like a whole other recipe on top of the grape itself.
Pretty much. The winemaker is thinking about all of this, trying to find the perfect oak to match the wine's characteristics.
Wow. Okay, so for instance, what would be different about like a Chardonnay aged in French oak versus a Pinot Noir aged in older oak?
Well, a Chardonnay in new French oak might get those really pronounced buttery and toasty flavors.
Okay.
While a Pinot Noir in older oak might be more subtle with like spice and earthy notes.
I'm seeing how much goes into making a good bottle of wine.
It's definitely a craft. And even after the wine is bottled, things like how you store it and serve it can affect the taste.
Really?
Temperature, light, even just how the bottle is positioned. All of that plays a role.
So you're saying I can't just chuck my wine in a cupboard and hope for the best?
Well, ideally, you want to treat it a bit more carefully than that.
Makes sense. So if we understand all this science stuff, does that make us better tasters?
I think so. When you know what to look for, you can really appreciate all the nuances. You start to notice the subtle changes over time, how the aromas evolve and how the flavors develop on your palate.
That's so cool. It's like a whole secret language.
Exactly. You're deciphering the story of the wine.
I like that.
Oh.
So, okay, we've talked about the grapes, oxygen, oak, aging. Is there anything else that can really change the taste of wine?
Well, there are what we call wine faults.
Wine faults? What is that?
Basically, sometimes things can go wrong during the winemaking process. Or even during storage.
Oh, no.
And these faults can lead to off flavors or aromas that kind of mess with the wine's quality.
That's a bummer. What are some of those things that can go wrong?
So one of the most common is cork taint.
Cork taint? I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's caused by a compound called TCA.
Okay.
And it can make the wine smell musty, like wet cardboard or a damp basement.
Yuck. That doesn't sound good. How can you tell if a wine has cork taint?
Usually the aroma is pretty obvious. It's not subtle at all.
Okay.
If you think a wine is corked, the best thing to do is just return it to wherever you bought it.
Good to know. So what else besides cork taint?
Another common one is oxidation.
Right.
And that happens when the wine gets exposed to too much oxygen.
But we were just saying that oxygen is good for wine.
It is in the right amounts, but too much of a good thing can be a problem.
Okay, I get it. So how do you know if a wine has been oxidized?
Well, it kind of loses its vibrancy. It might taste dull and flat, and the aromas could be muted or even unpleasant, like bruised apples or stale nuts.
Oh, yikes. So how do we avoid that?
The key is proper storage.
Okay.
So you want to store wine bottles on their sides, especially if they have a cork. That keeps the cork moist and prevents air from getting in. And then obviously, store it in a cool, dark place with stable temperatures.
Like a wine cellar.
Exactly. Or if you don't have a cellar, just the coolest, darkest part of your house.
This is good advice. I'm learning a lot about how to keep my wine happy.
It's all about protecting those precious bottles. So besides oxidation and cork taint, is there anything else to watch out for?
Yeah, there's also something called microbial spoilage.
Microbial spoilage. What is that?
It basically means that unwanted bacteria or yeasts have gotten into the wine.
Ew.
And that can lead to all sorts of weird flavors and aromas.
Like what?
Well, one example is volatile acidity that's caused by bacteria that convert alcohol into acetic acid.
Acetic acid? Isn't that vinegar?
It is. So the wine can end up tasting vinegary.
Not good.
Not good at all. And then there's also Brettanomyces.
Brettanomyces? How do you even say that?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's a type of yeast that can create these aromas that some people describe as barnyard-like.
Barnyard-like.
Yeah, or even like sweaty saddles.
It's definitely not something you want in your wine.
Okay, so it sounds like identifying these wine faults is all about paying attention to those subtle aromas and flavors.
Absolutely. The more you taste and experience different wines, the better you'll get at recognizing those nuances.
So I guess it's like anything else. The more you do it, the more you learn.
Exactly. It's all about practice and exploration.
Wow, we've covered so much ground already.
Yeah.
I feel like we've barely scratched the surface, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much more to talk about. Like, and the research, they mentioned climate
Oh, yeah.
and how that can affect both how grapes are grown and the different wine styles.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Climate change is already having a big impact on wine regions all over the world.
Really?
Yeah, we're seeing temperatures change, rainfall patterns shifting, even more extreme weather.
That's scary. So how is all that affecting the wine itself, like the wines that we're used to drinking?
Well, for one thing, some of those classic wine regions, they might not be ideal for certain grape varieties anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like, think about regions that are getting warmer. Those cooler climate grapes, they might not do so well there anymore.
So what does that mean? Like, are we going to see certain wines being made in different places?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Winemakers are having to adapt and think outside the box. They're exploring new regions, experimenting with different grape varieties that can handle the changing conditions.
It sounds like a really challenging time for the wine industry.
It is, but it's also a time for innovation. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening.
That's good to hear. So I guess as wine drinkers, we have to be adaptable too.
Exactly. Be open to trying new things.
Yeah.
You never know what you might discover.
And be understanding of the challenges that winemakers are facing.
For sure. There's a lot of hard work and research going into sustainable practices.
That's great to hear. So I guess the takeaway is that climate change is a real threat to the wine world.
It is. But the industry is finding ways to adapt and evolve.
And hopefully we can all do our part to support those efforts.
Absolutely every little bit helps.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about what happens from the moment the wine hits the glass,
Me too.
from the chemistry to the tasting to even the environmental challenges.
It's really amazing how much goes into every bottle.
It really is. So to everyone listening out there, keep exploring, keep tasting, keep learning. There's a whole world of wine out there just waiting to be discovered.
Cheers to that.
Cheers,
All
Dennis.